This week's events in Egypt have a familiar feel to some people in Iraq. They know what it's like when a longtime ruler falls. NPR's Kelly McEvers says TVs in offices, cafes, and homes in Baghdad are all tuned to live feeds from Cairo.
As with a lot of things in Iraq, gauging reaction to the uprising in Egypt depends on who you ask. We first try a Shiite neighborhood. We pass through the usual battery of checkpoints. One policeman says he figures he ought to be more polite to people now, because people might take to the streets and try to get him fired. That sentiment went beyond the checkpoints. In local newspapers, officials warned of problems like a coming unemployment volcano and said the people could erupt at any time. Others were quick to make promises to take better care of common people. In the middle-class, mostly Shiite neighborhood of Karada, Iraqi guys sitting around and smoking water pipes say they're excited about what's happening in Egypt. They say they're glad Iraqis aren't the only ones who looted in the midst of chaos. Now they say maybe Egyptians won't be so quick to judge.
They were criticizing us, accusing us of being Alibaba, which means thieves. So they were accusing us, but right now they're doing the same thing.
Down the street, we find some older, perhaps wiser men playing dominoes. When asked about Egypt, journalist and writer Sabah Hassan says it's bittersweet to watch the Egyptian people rise up against a dictator. The Iraqi people did the same, he says, 20 years ago, after the first Gulf War, when protests swept the south and north of Iraq.
The Iraqi people did fight Saddam a long time ago. It was them. But the issue, there was no media to cover everything. There was no media to talk about it, just like no one knew what was happening in Iraq.
No live feeds on Al Jazeera. Eventually, the uprising was suppressed. It was 12 more years before the dictator fell. With that in mind, we head across town to the mostly Sunni neighborhood of Mansour, where people were much more likely to be loyal to Saddam and much more wary of the idea of regime change. We walk up to a street stall where they're cooking hamburgers, Iraqi style. That means the meat is lamb and the French fries go inside the bun. Owner Jassim Al-Hilli says it's galling to watch the Egyptian people do the job of toppling the strongman, when in Iraq, it took an invasion to bring him down.
Most of the Arabic countries, actually all the Arabic countries, they like freedom and they like to do it by themselves. They do freedom for themselves. It's not like someone else would come and do it for you.
Ibrahim Sumedai is an Iraqi political analyst. He says he doubts the spirit of mass protest will spread here. First, he says Iraqi society is still divided. If Shiite leaders were to call for mass protests, Sunnis would probably sit out, and vice versa. That said, there are things that unite both sides. Anger at continuing electricity shortages, which brought both Shiites and Sunnis to the streets last summer. Unemployment, despite rising oil revenues, and the ongoing lack of security.
I think maybe we will face increasing calling for good services, but all the Iraqi people feel they are guilty because they brought this level of politicians in power.
And they can take them out of power if they want. This, he says, is a privilege the Iraqis have now, a privilege the Egyptians want.
We have elections. We have a free elections.
Sumedai says Iraqis should focus on rebuilding the country, not breaking it down. Like nearly everyone we talked to, his message to Egypt was simple. Be careful what you wish for. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Baghdad.